Hello and welcome to Beauty Guides Podcast. You can find us at Beauty Guides Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. We are two beauty industry professionals discussing makeup, skincare, and sometimes even self-care. My name is Kelsey. I'm a licensed esthetician and educator.
I'm Lauren. I'm a licensed cosmetologist and a freelance hair and makeup artist. Today's topic is romanticize your routine.
Welcome back. So Lauren, I went and saw Scream 6 in theaters over the weekend.
I didn't even know there was a Scream 6. Please explain.
Okay. Well, so it's still within the Scream universe, I guess. And mm-hmm. so it's got Jenna Ortega in it, Wednesday mm-hmm. Adams.
Oh, I thought so. Okay, cool.
Courtney Cox is in it, still as the reporter, still her same character. And
what is it, Gail
Weathers?
What's her name? Yes.
Yes. And Hayden Panettiere is in this one because she was in one of the other Scream movies.
She was?
Yes.
I do not remember.
She was a victim, or she was like a final girl. She was a final girl. So the plot line with this one is Jenna Ortega and her sister. Her sister is the daughter of Billy from the first Scream.
Oh.
Right. And so people,
generational trauma.
Yes. And also she dated a guy who then in the last Scream 5, she dated a guy who ended up being like obsessed with her dad as a serial killer and really only dated her because he was like, he wanted to be a serial killer too and stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyways, it's kind of the fallout from that. Hayden Panettiere returns, but she's the FBI agent, which it's like kind of hard to, you're just like, okay. Like
that's reach.
Yeah, that's reach. That one was hard to reach, but I'll tell you, it was really fun. I mean, Scream is always fun. And I like Scream movies because they don't take themselves too seriously. They're like, yeah, we're a scary movie. There's like tropes and there's, you know, funny things. And, you know, I didn't watch the like murder stuff. Like I always look away at that part because those images like stay in my brain.
Yeah.
But I did not suspect the twist.
Ooh. Yeah. See, that's the best part about Screams. It's the kind of movie that I kind of wish I could erase it from my brain after I've seen it, because I want to see it fresh again, because there are so many fun twists and things that just make you gasp and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened.
Because, you know, you're watching it the whole time like, okay, he's probably the killer or she's probably the killer, like trying to figure out who the killer is, right? And then you're kind of like, well, there's probably two, because generally there's like two killers with Scream, right? And mm-hmm. so, you know, I'm like trying to figure it out the whole time and I did not suspect who it ended up being. Aaron said he did, but but I didn't. And that's always fun. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it was a good time. So when it comes out, probably to Netflix or whatever, that would be a fun
Halloween.
You know
me, I love to watch my movies at home. So yeah. I definitely will. Did you watch any of the Pearl or X movies? Jenna Ortega was in X, I think.
I didn't watch X. Aaron did, but I did see Pearl with Mia Goth.
Yeah.
And she's so good.
I loved it. I was captivated by her the whole movie.
In Pearl?
Yeah.
Yes. She does this monologue her monologue is so good. Like when you find out everything and then I find out like she's not even American. Like she held that character in an accent. Like it was just so good. And like one of my favorite like memes of all time is her like holding that smile with like tears in her eyes, like basically losing her mind, but trying to hold it together.
Yes, the feminine rage inside of Pearl. It's beautiful.
Yeah. They have a new one coming out, part of that, like that director with Mia Goth in it and Alexander Skarsgård.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So I heard about that one that was coming out. So mm-hmm. I'll definitely check that one out too, because I ended up watching X, which is mm-hmm. supposed to be about like Pearl very late in life.
Yeah.
Which was cool too, because Mia Goth played mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. older version of Pearl and a girl in another character in the movie. She's just very, very talented.
Yeah. Mia Goth is great. And I'll tell you, I didn't watch all of X because I need to see those types of movies in theaters, because if I'm at home, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to walk away. Like, I'm okay. But I loved her makeup because it was like 70s. So mm-hmm. it was like the blue eyeshadow with like just mascara or no mascara. I don't know. There's something about that look that I really like.
Yeah, I posted a TikTok the other day that was about like blue eyeshadow in cinematic features. Mm. And it really is. It's such an eye-catching color. And I do like when people don't even pair a lot of makeup with it. It's really just kind of like a muted eye and then just like the solid base of like a powdery blue on the lid.
Yes, a powdery like pastel blue. It is such mm-hmm. a vibe. I remember I did it like one time in like 9th or 10th grade and my mom was like, absolutely not.
Okay, do you want to know what the color blue like reminds me of exactly?
Yes.
When you're playing pool, the cue on a pool stick. Mm-hmm. That's the color blue.
That's the color.
And I think it like brings in 70s vibes with me too. Like for me, it's like it all kind of like comes together. Like the mm-hmm. natural wood of the pool stick, like the blue eyeshadow. Mm, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe like I need to be doing a photo shoot at like an old dive bar or something.
Smoky bar, pictures of beer.
Yes.
Farrah Fawcett hair.
Yes.
I see it. I love it. That's funny. And then I wanted to ask you, I keep seeing this trend of people using a pink under eye setting powder. I guess Huda Beauty has the pink one, but then also Givenchy has like their kind of Prism Libre powder with all the different colors. But then I see now people like scraping their blush and adding it to setting powder to use under their eye. Is this just like a new banana powder trend where it's appropriate for one skin tone, but everybody's doing it?
You're picking up on a very important term that you just said, banana powder. So the OG original pink powder is by Ben Nye, who mm-hmm. gave us the banana powder. So Ben mm-hmm. Nye was a theatrical like makeup designer, and he gave us our iconic setting powders. And I remember the banana powder became so popular because of the way the Kardashians were doing their makeup, and they were setting with the yellow powder rather than a white talky chalk powder that mm-hmm. we used to set with. So this isn't new, but it is because of, you know, an algorithm and trending and things coming up more. I guess they're trying to make it more of a thing. Putting a pink powder under your eye, the same as putting a lavender powder under your eye, will cause more of a brightening effect, but it's nothing major. I think it's really interesting that some really high-end brands that you're referencing are creating pink powders now. Mm-hmm. And so girls are going in with the blush as well, you're saying?
Yeah. So they're like, the videos I've seen is like they dump a little bit of their setting powder in like the lid, and then they'll mm-hmm. scrape off a little bit of their blush into that powder and mix it all together. So it makes like that really pale pink powder. Mm-hmm. Just doing it themselves. I think honestly, that's just for the gram, right?
It totally is. And the thing is, people don't want to hear this because it confuses them, but I wouldn't even put that amount of powder under your makeup unless you're doing this full baked caked face that has to either go on camera or last for hours in torrential heat or a downpour or something like that. A lot of powder under the eye is just so unforgiving. I mean, would you agree going into our 30s?
Yeah, no, it's so heavy. Honestly, when I think of like heavy powder on the face, I truly think of drag queens. And mm-hmm. and it's there for that purpose, to like set all of like the heavy creams and oils that they use. And because they are trying to really trick the eye with light and shadow. And then also because they're performers as well.
100%. You're hitting it all on the head. Yeah, mm-hmm. because there's a purpose for this type of makeup. But unfortunately, we get too excited and people think it will be interesting for Instagram and then put it there.
Yeah. But, you know, I'll tell you, the people we're seeing doing it, they're all like 27. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, we'll enjoy. Actually, that's not true. I'm going to take that back, because I saw Rose and Ben do it. Mm-hmm. You follow her, right?
I do. And actually, one of my favorite YouTube beauty content creators is Painted by Spencer. And right. he is a celebrity makeup artist and he really knows his stuff. But he does these full face makeup looks, and he does a lot of baking in the process. But he always talks about using the Ben Nye pink powder for that process. And for that, I think it's great. You know, because we usually just use the clear, the white powder under the eye.
Yeah.
I think for people of darker skin tones, sometimes the pink can be a little forgiving and a little more brightening as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just another concept in makeup that's kind of fun to play around with. But yeah, I think I'm kind of done with powders under my eyes for forever, unless I'm going somewhere that, you know, I'm photographing and I want to have that full face on.
Sure. Now you use the Fenty powder in lavender, right?
I do. Yeah.
Do you use that for yourself or in your kit or both?
I use it for myself, and I bought it because I was curious. And I do have to say, as someone with a neutral skin tone who is always saying how makeup always has that yellow undertone that I'm not a big fan of, on our color wheel, purple cancels out yellow, which is why we use purple shampoo for blonde hair. So I do find the powder to be helpful if I feel that my makeup or my concealer is looking a little on the yellow side and I want it to be more neutral, but it's nothing major.
You know what my favorite is for, I guess, neutralizing any makeup is really the K-Beauty BB creams, either Misha or the Purita one, because they're so desaturated with almost that gray tone to them. I find that if anything's looking like too orange, too yellow, too pink, like anything that's kind of off, because you and I are neutral, but we're also like pretty desaturated as well. Like I don't have a lot of pigment to my skin. And so I will just put like a little bit of that into whatever I'm using. And then that kind of brings the color back closer to my skin tone.
I definitely agree. I like K-Beauty for that reason.
Yeah, but I also recognize K-Beauty is not, I mean, they're Korean, so they're only catering towards Korean skin tones, which is like one, you know, one little sector of the skin tone world.
Mm-hmm. It's very true. And you can't be mad at them. Like, that's just a thing. People that want to, you know, call out that that's not right or they need to be more inclusive. They're just catering to a certain.
Yeah. Well, their market is South Korea. Their market is South Korea, maybe Asia. So it's like, I understand if they were in Europe doing that, I'd be like,
that's wrong.
Yeah. Right. Or if they were even in America doing that, right? Or South America, anywhere else. But in the Asian market, you don't really have the diversity. I mean, you get a little bit more tan when you get into Southeast Asia, but I mean, really, you don't have that diversity.
Yeah, I also think it's really cool when you can focus on one thing, and they've really created a lot of products that are created with skincare that they're just so good. There's nothing like them. Yeah, they've done it right. So I think that's really like a neat concept of just like catering to one thing, learning one thing really well and doing it really well.
Are we ever going to have an episode where we don't mention K-Beauty? I don't think
it's
we
really
will.
That good. And it's so funny to me how many people are still like not getting it. You know, like they're like, I'm confused. I mean, maybe. And I'm like, what's to be confused about? It's literally a whole aisle in Ulta. Just buy a few products, try it. It's going to be the best thing you ever tried and then keep buying it. Like, I don't get it. People would rather like listen to an influencer that's going to tell you 50 products to put on your face that aren't going to work.
Drunk elephant and stuff. Yeah. That's what I think of. I haven't been into an Ulta in so long. Do they really have a pretty, I know on their website, they have a good amount of K-Beauty, but are they having it in store now too?
They do. It's not that great. I would probably shop from Amazon and Yes Style to get most of it. But I think a lot of people like to go into the store, and a lot of people tell me they don't buy something I recommended because they went to Ulta and it wasn't there. So I just try to think of what the consumer thinks, and the consumer likes to go to an Ulta or Sephora. So they do have a decent amount of products that I think can get you into K-Beauty being your gateway drug and then look elsewhere. Then I guess that would tell them the value of like, oh, I should go to Yes Style and like put in a big ass order, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll tell you, I tend to get overwhelmed in Ultas. I really do.
Me too.
There's a lot happening. I either have to go in with like a list or a specific one item I want to see. And maybe I do want to see that in person, or I want to see like maybe the size or something like that. But if I were to just like go in without like structure, I get too overwhelmed.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of any of those makeup stores. I don't think that there's a lot of help there. I feel like there's always something going on with their system where my card's not working or they only accept cash that day. The lines are always out the door. Yeah. I am not a fan of going to the makeup store.
Okay, so you know, so I worked in Ulta, but I was technically employed by Benefit, who is actually owned by the Sephora, Louis Vuitton, that umbrella, mm-hmm. but I worked in the Ulta, and they do some, we all know that they do shady business practices, but this is, okay, these poor girls that worked for Ulta, one day they would just give them like 3 hours on the schedule. And so basically, so they would quit. So then they don't mm-hmm. fire them and have to pay them unemployment. And it's yeah. like, it's just, it was so shady, some of the stuff they would do.
And I try not to support a lot of that stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like where my money goes. Like I try to, I do have a pro discount at like a lot of like mm-hmm. Friends Beauty, Camera Ready Cosmetics. But yeah, I don't agree with anything that Ulta is doing. And I don't agree with a lot of like the capitalistic nature of just the cosmetic industry in general.
Yeah. I saw a lady walk out with 7 Chanel perfumes. And we all kind of just had to like let her, you know, like what are we going to do? So she took one of the bags and just started filling it with perfumes. And we're all just like, the people went over and they're like, ma'am, do you need help? And she's like, no. And they were like, oh, okay. And the perfumes had like an alarm on them. So all the alarms are going off of these stuff. And then she just takes her bag and walks out. And we were like, okay. I guess we have to call the cops now.
Yeah, because you're not going to risk your life for it. No.
Well, and you're not supposed to either. Like, she's technically not stealing until she walks out. Like, you know, there's all those retail rules about, like, stealing and what people are doing. And I know, like, larger department stores, they have a little bit different rules. But, like, basically it comes down to insurance. And Ulta is not insured to protect us as employees if we get hurt trying to stop someone from stealing. And so at department stores, they have like the loss prevention that those people are insured for that kind of work. But mm-hmm. we as general retail employees are not protected. So we're not even supposed to do anything. We're just supposed to ask them if they need help. And like half the time, like I saw some crazy stealing at Ulta. Let me tell you, our store, the store I worked at had the largest like loss is what they call it, which is just mm-hmm. theft. Like I would see people with like their toddlers, and like their toddlers would be like holding a purse, and they would hand their toddler a product, and the toddler would put it in their purse, like their own little toddler purse.
Oh my god!
I was like, that's kind of genius, because like you're not stealing, like you could.
You're also indoctrinating the next generation.
I know, but like if they were like, "Hey, you're stealing," you'd be like, "I don't have anything on me." Like,
yeah, and then you'd be like, "Oh, my poor kid. She like, just likes to put things god, in her purse.
She's a child. You're gonna." Yeah. And then people would come in with strollers and just throw stuff into like the, you know, strollers have so many compartments and stuff like that. They would, or like put it behind the kid. Like, so the kid was sitting on it. Like, it's just crazy stuff.
That is so gross to me.
Yeah. Ew. People use their kids to steal. It's crazy. And it's like, bro, it's makeup. It's makeup.
Yeah. So just like a little off tangent, I've been like really annoyed lately about just society in general. And like on Facebook, like, why do we get so many likes if someone like gets engaged or has a kid? Like, you don't know, like, you don't know that they're a good parent. Like a lot of these people that like get pregnant, sometimes I'm like, you're a piece of shit. I don't know that you should be raising another human. And then it has like 333 likes on it because it's a picture of a sonogram. That's just something I'm very bitter and working through right now, but I just wanted to say it.
You know, so it was my anniversary last weekend. And Aaron and I went out to Hibachi for dinner because, you know, Hibachi's fun and it's not something you do all the time.
And it's romantic.
And we have a really good Hibachi place. Like that's kind of like, it's kind of like, if you know, you know, it's not like a big chain. So we were at a table with this couple and then they had 4 kids. And 2 of the kids, they were like older. One was like 23 and one was 20. And then the 2 were younger, like 6 and 3. And the 6 and 3-year-old were so well behaved little girls. First of all, they were so cute. Mm-hmm. They had their mom had the mom and dad had locks, but the little girls, they didn't have locks, but they had like the cutest hair, just cute little girls, just so well behaved. There was not an iPad or tablet in sight. Like they were just so good. And so like at the end of the dinner, we were like, your kids are so well behaved. They're so great. Like, you know, and then they were like, do you guys have kids? And we're like, no, we don't want kids. Like, you know, telling the whole story, like, you know, both our sisters have a bunch of kids. Like, it's not really for us. We're also older now. My husband just turned 40. I'm going to be 35. Like, you know, and they were like, well, if you did have a kid, would you want a boy or a girl? And I was like, what? I was like, that's not even. And so like Aaron was like, I would just want my kid to be healthy. Like, yeah, you know, and I was like, that's such a weird weird, but it's a normal question. Like people ask that question all the time. Like they do gender reveal parties and stuff like that, where it's like, what do you want a boy or I want a girl? And it's like, that's so weird to me. Like first of all, it's not really your decision, you know? And like, and second of all, like, that's such a weird, like, prejudice to put on your kid, or like, well, I wanted a boy, but you're a girl, so I guess you're second best. Like, you're my second choice.
Also the way that, like, people will completely create a personality for their unborn child before they even come out. They're like, he's going to be a baseball player and marry the hottest bitch alive. Like, no, stop.
Right. Like, my kid likes race cars. And it's like, do they? Because I'm pretty sure they're just like a blob of cells right now. Like, I don't know.
As someone that doesn't want to have a kid, I truly see the awe in like proper parenting and understanding that this thing, even though you had it, it does not belong to you. But it's also beautiful to nurture it and see the original ideas and concepts that it comes up with. I mean, I'm sure some of them you have to unteach them if they're bad. But how cool to think that this thing, like, you're going to learn it and live with it and get to know it just as much as it's going to get to know you.
Yeah. I just feel like asking me what gender I would want of, like, you know what I mean? I was like, it's not a car. I'm not, you know, it was just like, I didn't even really answer. I was like, I don't know. I just don't want kids.
I don't fantasize about the idea of which.
Totally. Well, the whole thing was like, the guy, the husband we were talking to, you know, he's got, he has four girls. So we were like joking, like, oh, you live in a sorority, like, you know, just like joking around, like, oh, you're the only guy, you got all these girls around you, blah, blah, blah. And so then he like asked us about it or whatever. Or like, we were talking about the difference between boys and girls and stuff like that. And then, I don't know, I was just like caught really off guard. And I was like, just be polite. Just be polite.
Yeah, exactly.
Just be polite. He's just,
we exit this conversation.
Yeah. Like, and that's a normal question that people ask too, right? It's like, he wasn't off base by asking that. That's like society has made that a normal question. But I was like, that's such a weird, like, for me to respond about, A, I don't even want kids. So now I have to choose a gender of the hypothetical child that I don't want. Like, and like, it's almost putting like that there's more value to one gender than the other, like that I value one gender. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird.
All I have to say is that I'm really happy that Chelsea Handler is creating all of this not married, childless content, because some people are taking it very harsh and brash, but we need it right now, because I could write a book about the rude things that people say to me about not being married, not having a child. I mean, even a lady at a wedding the other day that I work with, she's my coworker, gave me crap about not being married, and then tried to tell me that it's a really good tax write-off. And I'm like, my eyes, I just like could not control them. Like, they were just like so big. Like, what are you saying to me?
When I worked at Macy's, the lady who worked at Elizabeth Arden told me that it was my job as a woman to have children because God gave me a womb. And I was just so caught off guard that A, someone would tell me what my job was, B, that you're bringing God into this, and C, don't talk about my womb. Don't talk about my organs.
It's personal.
Don't talk about you don't know that I have that. First of all, I could not have that. You have no idea. Like, it was just, but I found out later it's because she had been like trying to have kids trying to have a child for a couple of years. I was like, but don't put that on me. Don't.
Yeah. Usually it's projection. That's why I don't say anything, 100%. But it needs to be said.
100%. Yeah. I was just like so caught off guard. And so I was just like, I'm infertile, and walked away.
There you go.
Yeah. I love, like, I mean, how many people, I mean, I just know, like, I hear people say, like, you know, my mom really shouldn't have been a mom or things like that. And it's like, yeah, probably not. But societal pressure was like, you got to have kids.
It's true. It is so true.
So if like I truly feel like I do not want kids, like, how is a kid going to benefit from me being forced to have them, you know, that I don't even want? Like, that's not a healthy relationship for either of us.
No.
It's not going to work out, you know, like, and I don't know if I could just like not be resentful towards a child, to be honest with you.
And that's good to know. I mean, that is what a honest conversation that a lot of people need to be having with themselves.
Yeah. I love how we get on. I was not expecting to go down this path.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I went there.
I'm waiting for the day where you and I get into conspiracy theories. Like, I'm waiting for that day because I love a conspiracy theory. I am all in. I'm all in.
I can go over one right now because, you know, I like to make my own theories.
Yeah.
But I really think with the Hailey and Selena stuff, because the Jenners were like slightly involved in that, I think that Chris paid for the Vanderpump Rules scandal to be a thing to knock the Hailey, Selena, Justin thing out of there.
That is a good theory.
right?
Well, I was watching Bethany Frankel talk about how, so the thing is, the Kardashians, I guess, are not going to the Met Gala this year because they were not invited. Mm-hmm. Which, like, I'm okay with. Like, I think everyone's okay with, because honestly, what Bethany was saying is, like, without Kanye, I mean, last year they all looked like a joke. Like, mm-hmm. It was all, and then, like, the whole scandal with Kim possibly damaging the dress. And then they had to do a lot of special things for her to wear that dress, like create special changing rooms and stuff like that, 'cause she only wore it on the red carpet. Mm-hmm. And Bethany Frankel was like, "You're wearing a backwards baseball cap and a tutu," talking about Kylie. And she's like, "What is even that?" Like, and she's like, you know, when Kanye was involved, like, that kind of made sense because he had a brand. He had a line. He had fashion shows. He was in the industry, like in the fashion industry. And so, you know, and Bethany Frankel speaks out a lot about not liking the Kardashians because she has a daughter and she doesn't want her daughter looking up to that. She was like, however, she's like, I think by not being there, they are staying even more relevant because we're going to talk about them not being there. And I was like, mm-hmm. Shit, that's good. That's a good point. That's true. Instead of them not being there, like out of sight, out of mind, it's them not being there and being like, oh, let's talk about the fact that they're not there.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. And I'm like, because, you know, they're like doing like, Chris is probably working so hard to rebrand them, figuring out how to, you know, because everyone's kind of over their shit, right? Everyone's over their shit and like not interested in them. So, you know, Chris is like working overtime, like, okay, how can I swing things? Like, what can I do? So I love that theory that I
think it's so much karma of like creating the brand the way that they did, because at the end of the day, Kim is a really good model. She's a model, you know, and she does work to herself the same way Gigi and Bella and all them do. And she looks great in front of a camera, but this whole like lifestyle thing that she's made with these people and the facades that she made about like each of her kids, it's definitely all coming to kind of like bite her in the back.
The kid things are weird because I have weird feelings about like kids on the internet and kids like on TV shows, like for profit, you know what I mean? And like the YouTube families, the blogger families, things like that. Like, I don't know. I feel kind of weird about that. And it's like, so, you know, and there's child labor laws with acting and stuff like that. But it seems like things have really shifted since they all started becoming parents. And I think it's because they have messy, you know, baby daddy drama.
Yeah, they're real people, just like all of us. You can't create like a whole we're perfect facade. You're just not. Like, no one is.
Yeah. And, you know, I think
some people that are okay with their messiness end up having a really long, really good career, like a Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. And Drew Barrymore kind of leaned into her messiness, too. Mm-hmm. Like,
or like a Demi Lovato is like, I am a mess. I am a normal human that struggles. And you're going to see good things from me and you're going to see bad things from me. And I think it's made a really long career for her out of that, too. But yeah, once you try to act perfect all the time and then you can't own up to that you're not perfect, but you just try to like create more PR around being perfect, it's not going to go good for you.
I'm gonna circle back to the beginning. Demi Lovato did the song for the new Scream movie.
Cool.
Full circle, yes, baby.
Full circle. Here we are, and now we can start the episode. Okay.
All right. Tell us about romanticizing our skin routine.
Yeah, so you may not be the person who sticks to a routine or washes their face in the evening, but let's start preparing you for the person you're going to be in the future by romanticizing our routine. So in creating a routine, your mindset is super important. So I want you to think about how we need to maintain proper hygiene standards for our health. It's important to establish some type of routine or schedule for maintenance of our skin, hair, teeth, and nails. A great way to start executing your routine is to create it around practices that bring you joy. And here are some ways and ideas to romanticize your skincare routine or start a habit that you see value in maintaining and will stick to.
Okay, so tell us about that.
So the first thing I want to think about is your lighting choices. So in your bathroom, do you like a dim or moody lighting? Do you like an amber glow? Do you like LED really good makeup lighting? Bring natural lighting in where you can. And if you can't, bring artificial lighting. Good lighting is important because we look at ourselves in the mirror as we groom. You will see a kind reflection back when the lighting is good. And also sometimes when you're around bad lighting, it makes you not want to be in there. I have a bunch of those like portable LED lights that it almost looks like the Hollywood mirror. They're like the bulbs, but you can buy them from Amazon. So I have those around my mirror in my bathroom. And when they're not on, I don't really like what is staring back at me. And I'll actually even put on a lot more makeup and stuff because it's not a nice reflection. I only have that harsh overhead bathroom lighting coming down on me. But when I turn on my LED light bulbs, I see a completely different reflection. I am like doing the skincare like I'm an Oil of Olay commercial and usually putting a lot less makeup on my skin. Mm-hmm. So definitely look at your lighting.
I remember you and I were getting ready for a middle school dance and you were like, oh, you're supposed to do your makeup in the lighting that you're going to be in. And I was
it's
like,
true.
And I was like trying to pretend like I knew that. I was like, yeah, duh. But like, I really did. I didn't know. Sorry.
But no, it is true. Like if you are going to a daytime event, you will wear totally different makeup than when you are going to a nighttime event. And at nighttime, you can actually add a lot more makeup onto your routine or your look because you're in darker lighting. Mm-hmm. All right. So the next thing to think about is sound. Put a little speaker in your bathroom. Make a routine playlist if you like music. And if you don't like music, maybe find an affirmation, a podcast, an audiobook, or lo-fi music that you can listen to while you are doing this routine.
For me, I'm a big YouTube watcher. So I'll put on a YouTube video like why I'm in the bathroom in the evening, like doing my skincare, flossing, brushing my teeth, maybe wearing a mask. Like I find if there's something like maybe someone else who's like getting ready or doing their skin routine. And it's like, yeah, we're just hanging out doing our skin routines together.
Yeah, I love that. I'm a big fan of affirmations and like positive talk. So there is a person named Toni Jones that I've been in love with. And she has a whole album that's called Healing in My Heels. And it's all like positive affirmations for women, very woman based. So sorry to be more gender specific there. But she is relating to more women problems in society and kind of just talking you through that. All right. So then we should look at the setup of your skincare, makeup, your safe space in your bathroom. Get a specific shelf that you want to put everything on. Choose products that have packaging you like. That is where, with how many products we have right now on the market, where you can kind of use this to your favor. And what I mean by that is, I'm more of a person that likes sparkly, fun things. So there are certain products that cater to that. Maybe you like things that have like a clean scent or very basic packaging because you like minimalism. You can find packaging like that as well. You can truly make anything in our capitalistic societal culture work for you. You truly.
Know, and I'll have to say, Lauren, you are so inspiring with this concept. So A, you always have like the prettiest shelf display. And then B, you repackage things. So I've heard people talk about like visual clutter, which will trigger anxiety. And that has to do with the packaging on our products are meant to be eye-catching. So they're kind of overstimulating to the brain. And so like you have your contact solution in the like prettiest like decanter, like so pretty. Yeah. All your stuff is always in really nice displays. And I had never thought about like, because I bought this lotion, it doesn't have to live in the bottle that it came in. Like I can use other things, you know, to display my products to just kind of clean it up. And then it makes you want to use it because you get to use this special packaging.
Exactly. And that is the exact reason why I have done all of these things. And it's to hack my brain into knowing that this is a specific process for me that I enjoy doing and I should do it, you know? Mm-hmm. All right. So we also want to choose products that provide a result. Who doesn't want things that work? You know, I think a lot of people just buy what's popular or what an influencer has told them to buy, and it doesn't actually work for their specific skin. So they're not seeing positive results of their skincare routine. So they're flustered. They're annoyed. They think, why would I do skincare? It doesn't work for me. Or I break out more when I do skincare. I hear a lot of weird things like this all the time. And I'm like, it's just because you're not doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. It's not your skincare making you get pimples. That is not a real thing.
Not generally, no. Generally, no. Yeah.
It just means you're using the wrong product or you just need to like rework your routine or something going on inside of your body. But yeah, it's skincare is not created to make your skin worse. Then I would say create a bathroom aesthetic that you like. Get on Pinterest. Look at all the things. Just find little things that make you happy to be there. Add in ambiance with candles and tea lights, especially in the evening. I've been really into like not having a lot of overhead light on in the house, mm-hmm. and just kind of like lighting little candles, like putting tea lights in strategic places so that they give us enough lighting. Yeah. And another thing I would do is look at the scent in your bathroom. Do you like an essential oil? Do you like a candle? Do you like incense? The scent of the products, or even if you like a lack of scent, mm-hmm. all of these are things are important to you and what you will need to get into the bathroom to spend this time on yourself.
Yeah. And scent is a big one where it's a big trigger of memory. So maybe if you associate something like a eucalyptus as like when you're taking care of yourself and really doing kind things for yourself. And,
ooh,
you know,
I love that.
Right. And then you'll start to associate that. And then you'll develop muscle memory where your body feels good when it smells eucalyptus because you're taking that time to care for yourself.
Exactly. That is what all of this is for. That is such a great point. Mm-hmm. The next thing I wanted to say is an excuse I hear all the time, and it has to do with their moms that have kids, and they're like, I don't have time for this because, you know, my kids take up all my time. But I have to say, involve your kids or other family members. This also creates great practices for your children to see that you're taking this time for yourself, that teaching them how to take time for themselves. And also, they're going to love it. Like, just buy some fun face masks. Mm-hmm. Even my boyfriend, he will not do the skincare, but he asks me, can we do skincare tonight? Because he doesn't know how to do it, mm-hmm. but he wants to do it, and he finds that it's fun. So maybe that would have been time where I'm like, oh, I can't do skincare because I'm hanging out with my boyfriend. But now me and my boyfriend are hanging out, and we're doing skincare. Look at that.
I love that.
Yeah. And if you're really struggling and there's some things that are really important in your routine, put it on your calendar, set a reminder, or have a trigger event that leads to skincare. Yeah. So I cut my boyfriend's hair every 10 days. And for me, that is a trigger event that we're going to do a face mask that night. Easy peasy.
It's called stacking routines. So when you're trying to introduce a new routine, you want to stack it with something you already do. So it's easier to incorporate something new. So like a lot of people find this with like, for me, like taking vitamins or something. I do that when I eat dinner because I always eat dinner. So I stack on a new routine. I stack on my vitamins. So that's actually really, that's a genius idea.
Thanks. Yeah. And those are all my ideas.
I want to just mention a few episodes. If this kind of makes you interested in ways to incorporate things and romanticize your routine and maybe easy ways, we did an episode on hygiene hacks for mental health. So if you are sort of struggling with getting into that mindset or not really sure how to go, or maybe you're struggling a little bit with your mental health but wanting to incorporate ways to take care of yourself, I recommend that one. And then the other one we talked about, we did, it's one of our earlier episodes, we did lazy girl hacks, which are things like kind of 2-for-1 steps or ways that maybe you don't have to invest as much time, energy, or money, but you can still find ways to take care of yourself.
Love that. Yes. I thought of the hygiene hack episode a lot when I was doing this because I was like, oh yes, this definitely feels like another extension of that.
For sure. I mean, and it's true. Like, I know for me, like hygiene, which includes like skincare and things like that, that's really one of the first things that like I do not take care of when I'm struggling. It's like I don't take care of my space and I don't take care of myself. And it's like you gotta take care of yourself because then it shows that you are worth taking care of. And that's important.
It's so true. And on the scary side of it, if we neglect ourselves, sometimes they become really big problems and really expensive problems. I was talking to a client a few months ago who was saying that she, when she was pregnant, she was just really struggling with her mental health and it was hard for her to get out of bed some days. And she kind of just stopped brushing her teeth. And when you're pregnant, a lot of the nutrients go to the baby. So her teeth rotted and she had to get veneers and stuff. And I know that was a process, you know, like first you deal with just the loss of what's going on and then having to go through a whole medical procedure. And thank goodness that she was financially okay enough to even be able to do that. But yeah, these things, they seem like they're not a big deal or that people don't want to talk about them because they seem so small, but they're so major. We only have one shell. We have to take care of it.
Oh my God. We have one shell.
One shell.
We are not hermit crabs. We do not change our shells. We got this one and we got to make it nice. We're turtles. We are turtles.
We are turtles.
I'm going to go off topic, but well, I'm going to stay adjacent. The podcast I like called Red Handed, which is a true crime podcast. I know you haven't been doing true crime that much, but they were talking about a family, that in New Zealand who The family was murdered, and when they came into the house, they were a hoarder family. And then in terms of hoarding, there was also a lot of lack of self-care and hygiene as well. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how when you stop taking care of your space and then you stop taking care of yourself, and it becomes this like cycle of depression where it's like, well, I'm not worth taking care of, or my space isn't, or it's too much for me to even try and take care of. And then it's just so easy to neglect other things in your life too. And so I think just taking time, like, I mean, even I like, so I think about with this stuff, like I love skincare, so that's not hard for me to do, but like oral care, like I brush my teeth a lot, but I don't always floss. I don't always water pick and things like that. And like, so then when I'm brushing my teeth, I think like my teeth are really worth taking care of. I really need to take care of my teeth. Like, let me just dedicate an extra 30 seconds, a minute to do this, and it will help me in the long run.
Yeah. And then like in this little talk I had when I was saying that you need to like personalize things to you and use the fact that we have so many products to your advantage, talking about brushing your teeth, I just sometimes do not want to. And I realized that it was because of the spiciness to me of the toothpaste. And I am on the neurodiverse side of my brain, so I follow a lot of TikTok accounts. And what I saw in a lot of like the ADHD and autism community was that they did not like brushing their teeth because of the mint toothpaste. So I found all of these toothpastes that have like an orange flavor, a grape flavor. I found ones that were really good for your gums that just don't have any spiciness to it really. But that's the point of like, if something is a struggle for you, just try to find an alternative. There's so many things out here. There's so many ways to take care of ourselves. You can find something that works for you.
That is so interesting, but it makes sense, right? That like, if you experience like sensory overload, you can, just like how you can associate like aroma with a positive thing, you can associate certain senses with a negative thing. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. I've also heard too, a lot of us have problems with regulating our body temperature. So a shower actually sounds terrible, because getting really warm in the shower and then having to turn the shower off and be freezing is awful. So then maybe you could incorporate a towel warmer into your routine. Maybe you could bring a space heater into your space. There's so many cool ways that you can just like look at your space and be like, what do I need? What do I have to buy? Let's do it.
You know what? That is so good, because I think so often we're like, I do not like hot showers. And for so long, I thought something was, I didn't like showering because I thought showers had to be hot. And like, I just, I was so uncomfortable by it until I realized like, I really just prefer like a lukewarm shower, which sounds weird to everybody else. I get like, I guess my husband takes the hottest showers, but I realized like, I enjoy the experience so much more when I'm more comfortable, and I don't need to fall into that mindset. Like, well, everybody likes hot showers, so I have to like hot showers. Like, that's not what it has to be at all.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. I think this was a really good talk today.
Me too. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Give us a follow on Instagram and TikTok at Beauty Guides Podcast. If you're listening to us, leave us a 5-star review. We really appreciate it, and share us with a friend. We have a whole ass website, beautyguidespodcast.com. And finally, you can shop all of our product recommendations at pro.shopmyshelf.us/beautyguidespodcast. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.